Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be hearing from MLA Tanny Yao as he's introduced a bill looking to increase the supply of plasma in the province. But before we get into that, joining me over the phone right now is Doug Schweitzer, who is the Minister of Justice and Solicitor General for Alberta. First off, Minister Schweitzer, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes to come on the show. This is going to be a new weekly segment where on Friday we're going to have you come on for a segment or two just talking about some issues happening across the province. And the first topic I was hoping to discuss is rural police officers, as the province made an announcement that there will be 76 new police officers and 57 new civilian support positions across the province. Why did the province think this was necessary moving forward?
Well, last year we did a whole bunch of town halls in a lot of small communities across Alberta to hear about rural crime. We've seen a massive increase in rural crime over the last 3, 4, 5 years. And we heard loud and clear from Albertans that they want more boots on the ground. They want more police officers available to respond to situations and emergencies. So we partnered with municipalities and we've invested now $286 million over the next 5 years to bring in 500 more law enforcement personnel. That'll be broken down with 300 more police officers and 200 support personnel. The support personnel are really important as well because they keep our officers out there in our communities. They do the paperwork. They help with the administrative work to make sure our police officers can be out there in their cars and patrolling our streets. So this is the first wave of new officers coming into Alberta over the next 5 years, and it's in response to the rural crime crisis that we have in Alberta.
Okay. Do we know what areas these officers are going to be assigned to?
Well, there's four districts in rural Alberta that the RCMP have broken down, and they're spread out across all the different four districts. So they're going to be able to help us in every community across Alberta. It's a little bit like zone defense in basketball, where each different station supports each other. So by getting more officers into each of those zones, you're able to cover more territory.
Okay. I know specifically some of the communities that were mentioned, and one of them that was left off, and I have to ask, is Wood Buffalo up here? Since, we are in Fort McMurray, you mentioned that over the next 5 years, there's going to be around 500 new positions. Do we have a timeline on when we can expect to maybe see some officers in the RMWB, as I know it has been, a big topic of discussion up here?
Well, and for the bigger communities, there's also contract policing as well. So we have to work with the local municipalities. A lot of this money here is going into the smaller centers that would be right around the city and in the area. So, but yeah, you are definitely going to see more officers on the ground across Alberta. And again, we have set up a police advisory board with representatives from each region of the province, working with the AUMA and RMA, who represent municipalities, to make sure that we have a voice at the table to help our police set the priorities, and that then helps the operational decisions on the ground as to where to deploy officers.
Okay. Any expectations or any timelines that you can provide us right now on when the second wave should be coming out?
It should be by the end of the year. So right now we're about over halfway of those 76 officers are here in Alberta, so we should have the remainder this calendar year, and then there'll be more to come the following year. So there's hundreds of more police officers to come for the province.
All right. Well, changing topics, and the province is going to be reviewing the Police Act, and we've been seeing what's been happening down in the U.S. and specifically up here in Fort McMurray as well, as we have allegations from Chief Alan Adam of the Athabasca Chippewan First Nation when it comes to police brutality. How important is it right now for the province to review this act to see if there are any changes that can be made?
Well, you know, we've heard from Albertans loud and clear that reform is needed. You know, it started in the United States, it's come to Canada, and it's brought to light an immense amount of concern from Albertans, our Indigenous communities, and many others that we have to improve how we police. So we're going to be expediting our review of the Police Act to make sure we have the right police oversight. So whenever there's potential misconduct, to make sure that that's handled properly, just to make sure as well that our policies are the right right mix for Alberta as well. It's been a long time since we've actually reviewed the Police Act. It's been decades since it's had a material reform. So we want to make sure we expedite that work and give Albertans what they want, which is a modern police force.
Are there any plans to maybe speak with Indigenous leaders? Specifically Chief Adam.
We've actually reached out to Indigenous communities. That'll be a big part of our engagement here over the next little while. We've talked to some of the chiefs, and we've also talked to the, we do actually have First Nation police forces as well. So we have four police services that are First Nation driven. We've talked to all the chiefs of police for those four services already, and we're going to continue to engage. I know my my colleague, the Minister of Indigenous Affairs, has talked to Chief Adams. I'm looking forward at some point in time to talking to him as well. We need to make sure we understand the issues so we can start dealing with the some of the root causes of the problems, and we're all game for that. We've also called on the federal minister of public safety to do the same thing, because the RCMP report to Ottawa. We have some influence over it, but the RCMP ultimately do report to Ottawa. So we've asked our colleagues in Ottawa to do the same type of a review to make sure that they're responsive as well.
Okay, so from what you mentioned, talks are still ongoing. So is it too soon to maybe suggest what some changes may look like?
It's a little bit too soon to suggest what all the changes will be, but we want to make sure we listen and we get it right. We've heard particularly around police oversight, when there's misconduct, that we have to make sure that the balance is right in that review. So we've heard that loud and clear already. So look for some reforms in that area. Our plan would be to bring in new legislation late next year.
Okay. That timeline, is there some concern on the province, as you know, we've been hearing from different organizations around Black Lives Matter, those who are saying Indigenous rights aren't being followed, that they want change right now, and that timeline might be, you know, a little too long for them?
Well, all I would say there to folks that want us to move even faster is that quite often police act reviews can take over 5 years. We want to bring in legislation late next year, so we're moving on an expedited timeline as it is. But if we can find things that are more policy driven, because some of the changes may not be, need a legislature with a new act. What you may just need is some policy shifts. If we can find some quick policy shifts, we'll gladly do those as well.
All right. Well, changing topics one more time, and the province is going to be improving firearms administration. This has been another hot topic up here in Wood Buffalo ever since there was a ban on certain firearms across the country. Is this so-called improvement in regards to the federal change, the federal ban, and maybe as a way the province could say this is maybe a better way to do things?
Well, we met with the federal ministers on this topic earlier this year, and the message that we sent to them was like, look, you need to consult widely with Alberta. You need to be thoughtful in the approach. You need to make sure as well you focus on the illegal guns coming into Canada, because 80% of the guns used in crimes in Canada are illegally brought into the country from the United States. So we gave them those recommendations. Our recommendations were ignored by Ottawa. Instead, we got a half policy that's half-baked that's not going to actually keep our communities safer. So in response to that, we're going to be setting up a chief firearms office here in the province of Alberta. We're going to take back jurisdiction. We're going to have more Alberta, less Ottawa in our criminal justice system, and to make sure we have common sense at the table, and making sure that the person that's running that office understands Alberta, understands our communities, and the responsible firearms owners that we have here in the province.
Can you kind of explain maybe what some of the changes might look like for firearms owners in the province?
Well, and remember too, this is federal legislation. Back in the Ralph Klein years, it was heavily litigated. This is federal legislation. So the federal government does have jurisdiction, but people are policy, and we want to make sure that it's done more in the compliance education type of model to make sure that we're not criminalizing, a farmer that simply has a firearm here. It's more of an education process. We don't want to criminalize individuals that have been responsible firearms owners their whole lives.
All right. Well, Minister Schweitzer, that's pretty much all the topics I had for this week. But is there anything else you would like to add maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about?
No, I just really appreciate you taking the time, and I'm looking forward to having some further conversations in the weeks to come.
Once again, that was Minister Schweitzer talking about rural police officers, firearms, and a review of the Police Act. Once again, Minister Schweitzer will be joining us every Friday as a new weekly segment. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from MLA Tanny Yao as he's introduced a bill looking to increase the supply of plasma in Alberta.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.4. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from Doug Schweitzer, Minister of Justice and Solicitor General for Alberta, who will be joining us every Friday as part of a weekly segment. Now joining me over the phone is Tanny Yao, MLA for Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo. So first off, Tanny, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes, and you're about to introduce Bill 204. Can you just kind of share to us what this bill is?
I'm repealing a bill that the previous government put in on our blood supply, and the bill is about plasma, and it's about ensuring that we can have a safe and secure domestic supply of plasma here in Canada, because we have so many patients that rely on this treatment.
Can you kind of explain maybe to those who don't know, but why plasma is so important?
Well, plasma is over half of our blood volume. It's the medium which carries our blood cells, our oxygen, our proteins, and all sorts of things like that. And companies take this product and turn it into medication, and we buy it back. So this would be about ensuring that we have a safe supply of this medication. We currently import most of it from the United States.
Okay. Is this in response to COVID?
No, but certainly there's some issues that came up with COVID that certainly identify the need for this. With COVID, you'll notice that our international supply lines for some very necessary products was impaired. So certainly this is about ensuring that we do have a safe supply of plasma-based medications.
Okay, so I just want to clarify. So you're repealing the Voluntary Blood Donations Act, which banned everyone except for Canadian Blood Services from paying for plasma. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I guess what other groups are you hoping to allow to, I guess, buy plasma?
Well, there are a lot of companies, specifically pharmaceutical and biotech companies, that take the product and turn it into medication. And certainly we'd be like to attract them to start developing those medications here.
I'm curious, why is this special for you? Where did this, issue come up for you?
Well, I was in the opposition when the previous government put in this bill. And despite our provincial Liberals and the Alberta Party and ourselves, the United Conservative Party, fighting this implementation of this bill, it's just a very ideological bill that the NDP put in. And by repealing this, we're going to work towards ensuring we have a safe supply of these plasma-based medications.
Okay, because I know you were the critic for the health minister, so this was something that you were quite vocal about back in 2017?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Tanny, that's pretty much all the questions I have, but is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
No, I think that's about it, Jaron, but certainly if you have any questions, please feel free to call back.
Once again, that was Tanny Yao, MLA for Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, talking about a bill he has introduced looking to increase the supply of plasma across Alberta. If you're looking for more information, make sure you head to the Mix News page. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from Stepping Stones Youth Services as they talk about how their organization has fared since the pandemic started.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from Tanny Yao, MLA for Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo, talking about a new bill he's introduced looking to increase the supply of plasma across the province. If you're looking for more information, make sure you head to the Mix News page. Now joining me over the phone is Shaylee Carousel, who is a family counselor with Stepping Stones Youth Services. So I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to join me over the phone. And we're here to talk about Stepping Stones Youth Services. And we're going to be talking about how the nonprofit has been faring since the pandemic started. But before we get into that, maybe for those who don't know, can you just kind of share what Stepping Stones is?
Yeah, so we're a non-for-profit program. We serve youth ages 12 to 17, and we're a safe place to stay for any youth who are experiencing any type of conflict at home or if they don't have anywhere to stay. We're a short-term program, and we do meals, we cook, we have accommodations for them while they stay with us.
Okay, so it seems kind of like what Waypoints does for those who are maybe victims of domestic abuse. You're really targeting those youth who maybe are in a tough situation right now.
Yeah, for sure. So what we do too is we work with the family while the youth are with us, and we do facilitated family meetings. And it depends on the youth and their situation because it all varies. Lots of youth have different situations going on at home. So yeah, we really work to help them with what their end goal is.
I'm curious, how long has this organization been running up here in Wood Buffalo?
Yeah, so we've been in Fort McMurray for 11 years.
11 years, all right.
And sorry, 10 years.
10 years, all right. So a nice round number, I like it. I'm curious as well, for these youth who access your services, is it, you know, by recommendation? They had to be recommended by maybe a professional? Can they just reach out to you? How does that whole process work?
Yeah, so they can reach out to us at any time. They don't need a referral or anything. Sometimes we get phone calls from the parents. Sometimes we get the RCMP know about us as well. So sometimes we'll get clients from, if there is RCMP involvement. Mm-hmm. Or the hospital too. The hospital knows about us as well. We've gotten a couple phone calls from the hospital.
Okay. And like I said, they send you some referrals, but not everyone has to have a referral. They can just straight up contact you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, the reason specifically we wanted to have you on the show, one, you know, explain the organization, and two, just kind of talk about how you guys have been faring since the pandemic, as we've been getting nonprofits across Wood Buffalo on the show. You sent me some information before the interview, and you said your number of calls and families reaching out have actually decreased. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, we've seen a decrease in phone calls and clients in the program since the COVID-19 pandemic.
Like how many calls, I guess, were you receiving usually, like referrals and all that, and how much of a decrease have you been seeing?
I'd say at least 50% decrease, if not more, from what we were normally getting.
Ooh, a 50% decrease. So that's a steep drop.
Yeah, it is definitely a significant decrease for sure.
I guess, what do you attribute to this? Is maybe just those who are just saying, we just don't have time to reach out? Maybe those are just not feeling up to it? Why do you think there's such a decrease right now?
Yeah, I just think they're maybe a bit hesitant with the whole COVID-19 pandemic going on, and they're just kind of trying to stay home and self-isolate.
Okay, that makes sense. Is there a worry at Stepping Stones that maybe, despite the decrease in calls, that maybe your services might be needed maybe a little bit more than usual?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. And I should mention, too, that we're actually able to offer support through families over the phone. It doesn't necessarily have to be it doesn't necessarily have to be the client coming into the program.
Okay, so I know at the beginning you mentioned too that you offer like some living accommodations, some short-term living accommodations for these youth, but you also provide, you know, just simple phone calls where people, where these youth can maybe, in a sense, kind of, you know, can vent?
Yeah, of course.
So you've seen a decrease in calls. So are you guys doing anything to maybe reach out to the public, to maybe encourage others to reach out? What's the game plan right now for Stepping Stones?
Yeah, so we have an outreach program and an outreach shift. Part of that, what we do is we go out in the community and we have our posters and our pamphlets and our business cards, and then we'll hand those out. So what we've been doing as of lately, because the schools are closed, so we've been going to places where we think youth might be employed. So we've been handing that information out.
Okay. And then hopefully this radio interview will help just a little bit more. Well, before I let you go, let's just pass along all the information that people need to access your organization. So how can they get in contact with you via phone? I'm assuming social media to share all that information.
Yeah, so our phone number is 780-750-2252. And I should mention our program is open 24/7.
Okay.
Yeah, so any time at all.
Is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
I don't think so.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters. But make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at Mix 103.7 FM.com.